Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
The Cabinet will meet at 2 o'clock to finalise the easing of the coronavirus restrictions for the festive season. From next Wednesday, it seems all shops, gyms and hairdressers will open. Restaurants and gastropubs are also expected to open their doors, perhaps, as we've just been hearing, as early as next Friday, but with stricter rules over how many people can sit at a table and for how long. But this decision isn't without controversy. The National Public Health Emergency Team warns hospitality shouldn't resume business this side of Christmas, and the government is to continue the blanket ban on household visits until the 18th of December, which some sources admit in the morning papers is a trade-off for allowing restaurants and bars to reopen. So what are people's priorities in this latest big government decision? Our reporter Evelyn O'Rourke has been to Dundalk.
I hope the pubs do reopen because I haven't seen my friend since the beginning of lockdown, so it's been hard now not seeing her.
How safe do you think you'd feel about going to pubs?
Very safe, yeah, because once they have the precautions in place and you just follow your rules and you do what you're told, like, I feel like it'll be fine.
And as a 20-year-old, I presume with your friends, Christmas has been a big talking point, has it?
Yeah, it has now. We're all looking forward to a bit of a break because it's been all work at the minute.
So in terms of the trade-off between pubs and households, how do you feel about that?
I think it's a tough one because I know people want their families down for Christmas, but obviously everyone wants to get out of the house and just have a bit of normality back, so it's a tough choice now.
I think everywhere should open, yeah.
Really? You feel safe about that?
Yeah. You're safer in a pub than a house party because they have everything in place, all the restrictions, all the everything that they need to put in place. They have spent thousands. We have spent thousands on our own shop.
And what do you think about the house situation where they're saying they might cut down on the numbers allowed into houses so the restaurants can open?
No, it's not going to work because they're going to go to houses anyway. People's going to go to houses, open the pubs, open the wet pubs, open the restaurants and let them all spread out.
The north is going into a relative lockdown where their pubs and restaurants and shops are closing down. This could be an opportunity for the government to maybe replicate what's going in the north. And for the first time, we might get to see what would look like an all-Ireland approach to this.
I have family abroad and unfortunately they won't be home. So it'll be.
They were due to come home?
They were due to come home in the summer and didn't get home in the summer. Now they were coming for a plan and having a good Christmas. So that's not on the board now. Three family abroad and none of them will be home. And I wish they could come home, but at the same time, we want to be safe. I don't want to go back into another lockdown in January. One grandchild in Dublin and I haven't seen him in 8 weeks. Do you know, I can't go up, they can't come down. And I mean, we're abiding by the law. Do you know, and I feel we have to suffer then for everyone else that's not, which is very, very hard.
I think it's a great idea. I should open it all up. Keep your distance. That's all you can do.
I think it's the house parties and, you know, the house parties and these outdoor gatherings and that, mostly younger folk, I have to say. And no matter what happens, you're not going to stop that.
Evelyn O'Rourke in Dundalk. Well, the government must also decide just how many people and from how many different households can gather for Christmas itself. Some expect it will be 6 people from 3 households, although we're hearing this morning it could be stricter than that. Religious services are also expected to resume over Christmas and inter-county travel will be allowed too from December the 18th until the 3rd of January. Now, the Taoiseach is expected to make an address from the steps of government buildings at 6 o'clock and any delay in the Cabinet's deliberations could see Micheál Martin clash with the Late Late Toy Show of all things. Let's get some reaction now to what we know and what we can expect. First to that big decision around hospitality. Paul Montgomery is the owner of Clancy's Bar in Cork and I'm also joined by restaurant owner JP McMahon. Paul, to you first. I mean, this we're hearing in the last little while that places like your own serving food could open from Friday the 4th. That would give you an extra weekend, wouldn't it?
Good morning, Claire. It certainly would. That's great news, I suppose, in an otherwise doom and gloomy world that we were living in for the last several weeks, not knowing what was going to happen. But we would certainly welcome Friday and we would absolutely welcome the following Monday as well. I suppose we were gearing ourselves up to a Wednesday opening, as we thought, from the 6 week bit. But we'd be very, very happy to be back either on Friday or next Monday.
But now we hear about extra measures that you may have to take, and we don't know, do we, what those extra measures will be?
No, but I think, Claire, that we spoke before the last time when we were knee-deep in water after Cork
City. That's right, yeah.
Was flooded. And I said to that time that we have to have hope and patience, you know. And, you know, I think that we'll deal with the measures. I mean, and I said it before to Brian, you know, that when we opened this bar and restaurant in this time last year, we had the bones of 5.5 million invested here, and we further went at it again then in the summertime, or before we reopened in the summer, and we spent probably another 500,000 getting it COVID friendly. So I think a lot of venues like ours would have put in their dividers, made it COVID friendly and made it COVID safe. So we had a lot of work done then, and I think it'll be an extension of that, Claire. Mm-hmm. So I suspect, you know, that time masks, face masks and a lot of stuff, you know, weren't compulsory, and some people did them, some didn't. And, you know, it's something that we all grew into in safety measures, you know.
And have you been talking to your staff? I mean, how do they feel about coming back? Are they ready to go, or has it been difficult to mobilise everybody?
Well, we would have over 100 staff in this venue alone, and we have other venues as well, right? But, you know, it's interesting talking to Graham and Sully here, and they've been liaising with all the staff. It's a different dynamic to the last coming back, in that I think a lot of damage has been done to staff at this time around, and a lot of people are questioning even the industry they're in. And that's not putting a dampener on things, but I think that the psychological effect of opening and closing and people going at this a second time round has certainly affected people. And we would not even at this stage have our full complement of staff back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That I think we're going to earn it to get everybody back. I mean, we will try. I suppose it looks like some of the wet pubs mightn't be opening, and maybe there are certain staff available from there. But to have people back now, it's not just having staff back there, it's having people ready to go 100 miles an hour, because, you know, there's going to be time restrictions on people, efficiencies have to be there, the booking system. I mean, we will have to swing into action, and we're ready to do so with a heart and a half, because we want to give people in Cork here and beyond, we want to give them a great Christmas, and we want to look after people really, really well, you know.
There's talk today of a reduction in the amount of time that people could spend in having a meal. So it was an hour and 45 when we opened up the last time. Now, do you see that it's feasible that people could comfortably have a meal and a drink in a time shorter than that?
I think without putting a tooth in it, I think that's rubbish, Claire, if they're staff doing that, because I think it was difficult at the previous time, and we were doing it because people were really good, because on the res diary system, on the booking system, you can go online from your office today and book your slot. You were arriving 3 or 4 minutes beforehand, sanitizing, temperature check, all of that. So, like, you add that, even go to the toilet. I mean, you add all those things in, and to have your food, as you know, in any, from cooking in your kitchen at home, to have a meal prepared from when you order it, and to have it served, that's not feasible. You know, I think that's feasible.
You've been talking to the Taoiseach, to Minister Simon Coveney, you've been talking to the council. I mean, they're obviously very clear as to where you're coming from in all of this.
Well, the big issue, you know, and I've probably got a bit disillusioned this summer a bit, and look at my spirits are picking up now. But the reality here is that, you know, businesses like ours, you know, we were going back into the dark ages that hospitality and drink and food and all that was becoming a dirty word in Irish society, and more so than anywhere in Europe or the world, where venues continue to be opened, you know, if they were closed down for a shorter period of time. And I don't know, do people really get it, you know, that, you know, hospitality and socialising and smiles on people's faces and meeting their friends is as basic a need as eating and, you know, anything else. It's part of people's routine. I mean, we're Disneyland for adults. People need a bit of, people need this in their lives. And
like, I think people can understand where you're coming from, but I was just taking a look at some of the figures from the other countries today. Take Italy, for example. They had 882 deaths yesterday. I mean, I just don't know if we see clearly what's happening this time around in the second wave in other countries. They're in an awful state.
Yeah, I mean, look, there has been huge sacrifices made everywhere, right? And I get it. But like, Claire, you take Ireland, right, and you take one of the lads' schools here, and their kids going to schools, and they had 18 or 20 cases in a national school, in a Gaelic school here the other day, right? And you can imagine how many more in that school, and that's going home to the adults. So it's if we keep society open, which we have been doing, and we allow thousands of people coming into Ireland every day, which we've been allowed to do, and the schools. I mean, there was a narrative around there that schools weren't causing COVID and there was no spread of it, and that narrative to keep schools open. And I like the fact that schools are open. Okay. But if we have, you know, so we're not going to stop it if we keep society open.
Okay, I want to bring in JP McMahon, who's with us as well. Are you going to open, JP?
I suppose I don't know at the moment, and we have to see what the new measures are, like whether they're talking about greater distance between the tables and less time. We have to see if it's viable, and also if it is only for 3 or 4 weeks and we're back into another lockdown. I don't know, and so we're just waiting, and to be honest, it's very difficult at the moment with the way we're being drip fed information and sometimes contradicting information.
So no decision until you hear what the Taoiseach has to say this evening.
Yeah, like, I mean, we had thought the 1st and now I think the 8th, and we've had a chat with our staff. Some are not coming back. So, again, as the other man there said, I mean, I think people are disillusioned with the industry, which is unfortunate, but people have to live.
Well, they've taken the decision that if they come back, they may just be back on the PUP come January or February.
Yeah, like in 4 weeks' time, then we're closed again. And like people are finding it very difficult. There is no rent relief for people who are on €350 a week, and it is very hard.
Yeah, Paul was just mentioning there, you know, other countries where hospitality has remained open throughout. And I know you've been talking to some of your colleagues and friends in other countries as well, and they have been open, doing pretty much the same sort of business model as yourself.
Yeah, like I've been talking to some of my chef friends in Finland and in Denmark as well, and they're doing what they can do. They're open with social distancing and with time restrictions, and they have remained open since May. And I don't think Finland or Denmark are in any worse position than we are. And I think it's important to realise that...
I think Finland are in a better position than us, actually. I think they're slightly ahead of us in terms of control.
I'm talking to Sasu, who's based in Helsinki, and they're open and trying to be careful, and it is frustrating. I understand it's difficult, but I just think that the government need to start leading, and I think the way in which information is coming from NPHET is absolutely scandalous, and it just shouldn't be that way. And it's almost like Groundhog Day again. We're in this very stressful position.
Yeah, Sam McConkie is with us now, Professor Sam McConkie. You're very welcome, Sam. Is there a safe way? I mean, I know you've heard what Paul and JP have had to say there. Is there a safe way for hospitality to reopen over the next few weeks? It could be the next few days, within a week from what we're hearing.
Rather than saying sort of safe as absolute, I'd say a safer way is, and that would be outside table service, sitting down, tables 2 metres apart with people that you live with, which may, of course, not be what people want and not be what the industry wants.
It was 2 degrees when I was coming in to work this morning.
Exactly. This is what they do in Scandinavia. They have these outdoor winter markets and people drink their Gluck wine, their nice warmed-up sort of mulled wine, sitting outside with their gloves on and in a warm cup. So the Scandinavian culture does have an outdoor. The kids are put out when they're 3 years old. They dress them up in school and push them outdoors, you know, a couple of hours a day, even if it's snowing. So there are different traditions in different countries. So I think it's challenging, especially if we open up retail, which I think the plan is to try and open up non-essential retail and more family gatherings and more pubs and restaurants. If we do all those three at the same time, then we risk going backwards.
What we're looking at now from what we've heard is that hospitality will be allowed to open in some way, shape or form from the 4th.
Yeah.
And it appears to be a choice between that and the family visits, which will be delayed now until the 18th of December. Do you see that it's a choice between Granny and Guinness?
I see that none of us want to be back into oscillating level 3, level 5, and, you know, in January, February to be back into restrictions and then relax them and then back in May and June and then back in September for a fifth wave. That's not a medium or long-term strategy that any of us want. So we want to really keep the numbers coming down and control it. Once they get down to less than 10 or 30 a day in Ireland, it's possible with really intense public health outbreak control to keep them going down by focusing more and more on the people who actually have it and less on the general population. So places like Leitrim hasn't had a case for a week now. Maybe the pubs there could open, but only for people from Leitrim, Clare, not for the people from Sligo and Mayo who'd be coming in. So it would have to just be local people. So I think we're seeing how some areas have controlled it very well. And I think we once we get cases down, we could control it. We failed to do that in May and June, of course, but we could do much better with a huge investment in public health over the next few months.
You heard Paul there and JP, and they just feel that the industry has been really unfairly treated, that they have been targeted almost, treated as though this is the only place, these are the only venues where COVID is spreading, when that's not the case.
Well, I would say I completely agree that this infection and pandemic has been exceptionally unfair. It's been unfair on lots of people. You know, the children didn't have education for the first few months of the year. You know, builders and construction were out during the first restrictions. And, you know, many of us have had our lives turned upside down. So, and many people have been bereaved. So there unfortunately is no fairness in this, I'm really sorry to say.
Just in terms of Christmas, you know, where people are looking at visiting maybe elderly relatives who they haven't seen for some time. What's the best advice, the best way to do that?
So my advice would be to try and stick for the 2 weeks before you go to visit them, try and limit your social engagements as much as possible for those, almost like self-isolating at home, so you and your family that you live with are kind of keeping in your own little bubble, almost like as if somebody who is a contact, but you're not a contact, you're trying to prevent yourself catching it from the society, and then of course to do your visiting for 3 or 4 days down the country with your family. I mean, many of us have family down the country, we'd like to go and see them, but the way is to avoid the intense socialising. So the model of all those great times in December in the past when we go out with our workmates and friends from all over the country and abroad to eat and drink and be merry in the city centre, that's just a super spreading event for COVID-19 and for SARS-2. Those, you know, sitting cheek by cheek and lots of singing and shouting and a bit of alcohol, those are events and situations where, you know, the virus spreads. So doing that in the few days before we go up to the rural Ireland to visit our relatives is a recipe for spreading it. And if 500,000 of us do that, then it will lead to significant outbreaks,
okay,
not just in Leitrim and Monaghan, but all over the country.
Before you go to visit your family for Christmas, you shouldn't go shopping. You shouldn't go out for a meal. You shouldn't meet up with any friends. You should treat yourself as though you are a contact.
Yeah, and the shopping, some types of shopping are relatively safe. So we're doing click and collect now, where you see on the computer what you want, you click on it, you pay for it, and then you go and collect it. So that's relatively safe because there's no crowding, there's almost no human intercontact. It's just picking up a package. So I think it's a bit like, you know, the restaurants again, it can be very spaced out or it can be crowded. The problem is when we all get a bit to drink and we're all having a good time, we do tend to congregate closely and sing and talk loud with the people we like and enjoy being with.
Thank you very much for joining us. That's Professor Sam McConkie. Danny McCoy, CEO of IBEC, is with us now, along with Dr. Hannah Durand, behavioural scientist at NUI Galway. Danny, what do you think of that? If you want to go and visit your granny, you shouldn't go too far. You shouldn't really leave your house or have contact with very many people for the preceding 2 weeks.
I think we all know at this stage what the factors are, and it's personal responsibility and trying to act collectively. And I think as a society, we've held together very well. But I also know that society feels it's fairly egregious, the treatment of some sectors from being able to make their livelihood and haven't been given the opportunity to show that they can do so safely, because the reality is people are going to congregate over the festive season. And to actually use what we have, the infrastructures that we have, be they in the retail, restaurants or pubs, I think is really, really important. And so like a sensible society should be able to provide the facilities, and then it's up to personal behaviour. And that personal behaviour extends into the household as well.
So it's up to the individual to make the choice.
It's up to all of us. And we all know how this works now. We're long enough in this virus to know that it's congregation. It's about personal behaviours. But it's not the virus that's closing down the livelihoods of the restaurants and pubs. That's a decision that's been taken by the government on the advice of NPHET. And on this occasion, I believe that it's the overall strategy, which can't be changed now, in the very short term, which is suppression strategy, suppress and release. There is a release coming. And the faster it's done now before the Christmas period, the better chance we have to allocate the time and space to ensure that we can do it effectively. But it's, the congregations will happen despite whether the pubs are open or not. And so on that basis, they should be provided to make a livelihood right now.
Aidan has been in touch with us and he says all of this talk of relaxing the COVID restrictions because it's December or Christmas time is absolute madness. We're effectively at war with a killer disease, but our government and others seem to think we should be finding ways to make money and have fun.
Look, we all know exactly what the impact of the virus is, but we also know the impact of the other aspects in the health system and from the livelihoods, what that's doing in terms of mental health, other illnesses that are being caused by a segment of our society that has been suppressed for a very long time and continues to be treated in the communication flow the same as before, even though we've been promised different. We still come up to a Friday night in terms of announcement. We still have people left not knowing what to do with their business, what to do with their staff. That in itself is actually stress points, never mind the decision. So we need to take the responsibility of individuals, but allow people to make their livelihoods. It's up to them as individuals then whether they want to go there or not, or how they want to act. But the suppression of the virus is now a suppression of the livelihoods of too many people at this point.
Yeah, an interesting point made there by Paul and JP. You know, that decision about whether you open up and then you're going to say to your staff, quite likely, I mean, the Taoiseach himself said it, that you're going into a shorter period of lockdown then in January and February. That's a big call for businesses to have to make, isn't it? Do I crank everything up only to close it down again?
Well, the suppression strategy that's been pursued is that. It's always been this very blunt, pressing the whole nation into level 5 on this occasion. And there was always going to be a release. Couldn't possibly keep us in level 5. And in fact, you know, and your behavioural scientist may talk about this, is that people seem to think that going from level 3 to level 5 automatically is going to have this kind of linear response. We've seen a lot of reaction from people in level 5 because of the confusion on messages, not actually following through. More reasonable and proportionate response, I think we'll get a better response from people. And people do realise that the level 5 and the egregious nature in which publicans in particular have been suppressed right throughout this year without capacity to make a livelihood when they were open, they showed they were responsible, put the investment in. I think that's a level of unfairness. It's not caused by the virus. It's caused by choices by government.
Well, let's bring in, you mentioned that we have Hannah Durand with us, Dr. Hannah Durand, behavioural scientist at NUIG. Hannah, what do you think is going to happen when the release happens? So when we emerge from level 5, is everyone going to rush out, go to the shops, go to the restaurants and take the risk for themselves?
Good morning, Claire. I think there is a risk of that, and I think that's why the phased approach has been kind of suggested by NPHET and by the government to kind of phase our reopening of different businesses and services across the month of December. So not everything is open all at once, and we don't have sort of a free-for-all. I appreciate that people have been really struggling in this lockdown in particular. You know, the dark evenings, the bad weather has made things more difficult for people this time around. I think people are chomping at the bit for a sense of normality, but I think whatever risks we take now, we want to see the results of January and February. So I think it's really important that people take a common sense approach as these restrictions are lifted, to not all rush out at once to go to non-essential shops, for example, and try and kind of exercise a little bit of pause.
Okay, unfortunately, the line isn't great, Hannah, but we'll try and carry on. JP McMahon, restaurant owner who we were talking to earlier, he said it was scandalous the way the information was being leaked out and drip-fed. How do you think that the way this happens, you know, this play out that we see up to the big announcement this evening at 6 p.m, how does that affect people and their behaviour?
It's really kind of not be certain about what's coming, and I appreciate that it has a really detrimental effect on business owners in particular who feel like they can't plan. I would say, you know, I'm concerned about the way NPHET has been sort of portrayed as of late as this sort of Grinch figure, you know, that's trying to ruin our Christmas. I think
I'm really sorry. The line just isn't good enough, and we're missing the most of the sense of what you're saying. No, I'm sorry, because we really did want to hear that from you, Danny. To come back to you, what do you think the impact of the drip feed is on how people will behave now once restrictions are lifted?
Look, I think people in the main are responsible. They're clearly different types of people in our society that are prepared to say as risks. Like those who might rush out or go to the pub excessively, do you think that they're not going to do the same type of risky behaviour in other uncontrolled environments? Mm-hmm. So we have to put up with a proportion of people aren't going to behave responsibly, but the vast majority of people do. And I think everybody realises that segments of our society that actually want to participate have been suppressed without much evidence, in fairness. And now their livelihoods, in this particularly important period for them, they should be given the time and space, and the quicker it's done. For instance, why should a sub-cabinet take a whole 24 hours for the cabinet to come out when everybody pretty much knows what's going to happen this evening?
Mm-hmm. But weren't there complaints when it was just Neffet? You know, at the beginning, Neffet went...
No, I'm saying that Neffet went through a senior officials group, and then we had the cabinet subcommittee yesterday afternoon.
So it's not happening
quickly
enough.
Everybody has to wait 24 hours in this information, not a gap, because there's a lot of information, but not knowing whether it's right or not. When people should be told, if the decision is pretty much there, why not have that out yesterday evening as opposed to even these 24 hours? Because time matters now. It's a fixed event, Christmas, in the calendar, and we want to allocate that time and space. 24 hours, these last 24 hours, what actually has changed in the last 24 hours from the government's decision last night? Is the cabinet really going to overturn the senior ministers? That credible?
Okay, well, let's see what happens at 6 o'clock. Thank you very much, Danny McCoy from IBEC. We're going to be talking about the questions that were answered by the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee. We're going to be talking about that with Brendan Howlin and Dr. Laura Callahan after this break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.